Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my co-host Jordan to dive into EOG Resources' first quarter 2026 earnings call. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And wow, what a quarter for EOG. They're definitely benefiting from some major geopolitical tailwinds, but there's a lot more substance here than just riding the oil price wave.
Absolutely. Let's start with the numbers because they're pretty impressive. EOG generated $1.8 billion in adjusted net income and $1.5 billion in free cash flow for the quarter. They returned nearly $950 million to shareholders through dividends and buybacks. Jordan, what jumped out at you?
The cash flow generation is remarkable, especially when you consider they're projecting a record $8.5 billion in free cash flow for the full year 2026. But here's what I found fascinating. They're maintaining their $6.5 billion capital budget while increasing oil production guidance by 2,000 barrels per day and NGL production by 6,000 barrels per day. That's capital discipline in action.
That's a great point about capital discipline. They're essentially reallocating capital from natural gas assets to oil-weighted assets within the same budget. CEO Ezra Yacob was pretty clear about this being a response to current market dynamics. Oil prices surging due to the Iran conflict, while natural gas prices remain soft.
Right, and let's talk about that geopolitical situation because it's driving a lot of their strategy. The conflict has removed an estimated 900 million barrels from global markets through June 2026, and EOG's management seems to believe this sets up a higher oil price floor going forward, even after the conflict resolves.
The international expansion story is interesting, too. They've got operations starting up in both the UAE and Bahrain. During the Q&A, management mentioned they're seeing strong partnerships with ADNOC and BAPCO, and they expect initial results from these exploration programs in the second half of 2026.
And their marketing strategy is really paying dividends, literally. They have 250,000 barrels per day of export capacity out of Corpus Christi, which gives them flexibility to price crude domestically or link to Brent pricing. Plus, their Cheniere LNG contract is expanding to 420,000 BTUs per day, with pricing linked to either JKM or Henry Hub at their election.
That pricing flexibility is huge in volatile markets. CFO Ann Janssen mentioned they've been able to sell multiple cargoes at attractive pricing, thanks to that export capacity. It's like having optionality built into their business model.
Speaking of Ann Janssen, let's talk shareholder returns because this is where things get really interesting. They're committed to returning at least 70% of free cash flow this year, which would be a record. And they've been aggressive on buybacks, 3.2 million shares in first quarter, plus another 2.3 million shares just in April.
The buyback strategy seems pretty opportunistic. During the Q&A, there was this great exchange about being tactical versus having a ratable program throughout the year. Management seems confident they're finding value in their own stock, even with oil prices elevated.
What I found telling was CEO Jakob's comment about potentially building some cash on the balance sheet during this upcycle to prepare for countercyclical investments when prices eventually pull back. That's exactly what they did with acquisitions like Encino during the downturn.
The operational efficiency gains are impressive, too. COO Jeffrey Leitzel highlighted some strong improvements, drilling feet per day up 22% in the Utica, 13% in the Powder River Basin, and 12% in the Eagle Ford compared to 2025. Their Janus processing plant in the Delaware Basin is running at 94% utilization.
And they're not seeing significant cost inflation, which is notable given the current environment. About 50% of their well costs are locked in for 2026, and they have structural advantages like 70% of drilling rigs running on natural gas, and 100% of frac fleets being e-frac or dual fuel capable.
There was an interesting question about whether this oil price environment changes their longer-term growth strategy. Jakob's response was measured. He thinks they'll be in an above mid-cycle price environment for the next few years, but they don't want to chase growth in a higher-cost environment.
That discipline is what sets EOG apart. They laid out a scenario earlier this year for low single-digit oil growth that would deliver 15% to 25% ROCE and $12 billion to $24 billion in free cash flow over a $60 to $80 WTI range. Even without aggressive growth, they're projecting 20% higher cumulative free cash flow compared to the past 3 years.
The dividend story is compelling, too. They've never cut their dividend in 28 years, and they're growing it at about 9% compound annual growth rate over the past 3 years while buying back stock. The current yield is actually higher than ExxonMobil's now.
Looking ahead, there are several catalysts to watch. The Middle East exploration results in the second half of 2026, continued expansion of their LNG marketing agreements, and how they manage capital allocation if oil prices stay elevated. They seem well-positioned regardless of how commodity cycles play out.
One thing that struck me from the call was management's confidence in their diversified portfolio. Having assets across multiple basins and product streams gives them the flexibility to optimize capital allocation in real time, which is exactly what they did this quarter.
And let's not forget the balance sheet strength. They ended first quarter with $3.8 billion in cash, up $450 million from year-end, and net debt of only $4.1 billion. That financial flexibility is a real competitive advantage.
For investors, EOG seems to offer a compelling combination of strong free cash flow generation, disciplined capital allocation, and meaningful cash returns. The geopolitical situation provides some upside optionality, but the underlying business fundamentals appear solid, even in a normalized price environment.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That wraps up our breakdown of EOG Resources' first quarter 2026 earnings. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch, and we'll catch you next time for more AI-powered earnings analysis. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.